Amongst the long grass on farms across Australia lie bits of old machinery rusting away. They're a testament to old farming methods, changes in technologies, or a downturn in economic success. The Kununurra Historical Society has been on a detective mission in recent years to piece together the town's agricultural past. And it begins with a huge piece of pumping machinery. And to tell us more about what that thing is today, Andrew Barker is from the Kununurra Historical Society. He's the president. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, Vanessa and listeners. How are you?
Oh, we're all great, and it's lovely to have you on the program. And there is an advertisement that says, Petter Atomic Diesel Engine, powerful, reliable, with fullest economy. Tell me about this engine and how it was rediscovered in Kununurra, Andrew.
Okay. It was, as you said, a Petter or Petter's diesel engine. And in November 2010 it was, the Vice President now, Barry McKinley, and myself went out to the Kimberley Research Station, formerly the Kimberley Research Station. These days it's called the Frank Wise Institute of Tropical Agriculture and is run by DAFWA, the Department of Agriculture and Food, WA, before, when it was known as KRS or Kimberley Research Station. It was run by the CSIRO and the Ag Department. So in November 2010, we went out to have a look at the library and photograph some of the photo albums that are there, which sort of detail the story of the Ord from about 1941 all the way through to the 70s, 80s at KRS. And we noticed on a concrete block just sitting by the river this pump engine. And so photographed it and started doing a bit of research. And some of the photographs you can see from our website or Flickr show that it was a 36 horsepower pump, and this gave us some great information which led to discovering it was actually the first pump used by Kim Durack at Carlton Reach. So some significance to this pump engine, and it's not a pump, actually it's a pump engine, but it was the first one in use for an agricultural project on the Ord.
So it really does mark the start of that agricultural industry in the area then. That's why it's so significant.
That's true, Vanessa.
And how was it originally used, Andrew? Do you know much about how it was deployed and who used it?
Yes, we've found out the State Records Office has given us quite a few documents all to do with that year in 1941. I think it started around July when Russell Dumas, who later became Sir Russell Dumas, sent a letter outlining his plans to look at the Ord with the intention in mind of building a dam. So they were going up to investigate. And from there, over the next few months, it snowballs. And Kimberley Michael Durack was chosen, or he actually instigated a lot of these things to happen from about July that year. And by November, they had the pump engine up there and they started to install it. So that would have been, November 41 when Mr. Bottrell of Public Works and Frank Foreman, the government geologist, went up with Dumas to look at gorge sites. And Bottrell also went up to install this engine. By November 1941, the engine was... By December 41, the engine was in place and ready to go for the next season.
I'm talking to Andrew Barker from the Kununurra Historical Society. He's the president. And our What's That Thing segment today takes us into a piece of Kununurra history. a pumping machine, an engine that helped begin agricultural industries in Kununurra. And Kim Durack used this particular pump. There's a photograph on the ABC Kimberley Facebook page that the Historical Society has provided for us. It's a huge piece of machinery. I'm not very good at describing technical things like it, but it's a great lump of iron, bit rusty, bit technical looking, sort of a motor thing on the side and bits of wires and knobs and stuff on the other side. And what kind of condition is it in, Andrew? Is it in good nick? Would it start again, or is it well and truly out to pasture?
That's a good question, whether or not it would be serviceable. It's possible that it could be brought into service, a serviceable state. We don't actually have the object as yet. It's still at the Kimberley Research Station, but we've been negotiating with Department of Agriculture, who have more or less promised that we'd be able to have it, and we hope to be able to put it out at the front of the museum. Originally it was up on the bank and had a flywheel which had belts going down to a pump close to the river. So this, once Carlton Reach finished in 1945-46, everything was moved to the new site at Kimberley Research Station. So this pump was also in use at KRS up until the 1950s. So it's a fairly significant piece of machinery. It's quite large and very heavy, as you could imagine.
I wonder how they even transported it to the area back in the 1940s. Must have been a huge
It would have effort. Come up on state ships, so one of the state ships would have transported it, but it would have been, quite a difficult process just to get it from Wyndham to Carlton Reach, because back then Ivanhoe Crossing was a lot lower and the road was probably a lot worse. And we're talking the old road that goes between Button's Gap and Wyndham, not the new road that most people would know now.
Yes, exactly. A lot trickier. And were the Petters engines made in Australia, or has this been shipped out from, say, England or Europe, Andrew?
I'd imagine it would have been made in England at the main Petters factory. And, as I say, brought up on the ship. Apparently, according to Bill Durack, the pump engine was in use on the Goldfields water supply somewhere. We haven't figured out yet where. Talking to Richard Hartley, who wrote A River of Steel, which is all about the pipeline from Mundaring to Perth, he tended to think that it wouldn't have been used for pumping the water, but it may have been used to provide lighting or electricity at one of the places along the way. We know it had, you know, a sister engine, so there's somewhere else is another one of these. But we're still sort of looking into, you know, where that early history of it lies.
I imagine you love this sort of detective work, because looking at your research file on this one diesel engine, you've got so many letters and internet links and searches and snippets of memories from old-timers. You are a real historic detective, you and the team there, Andrew.
I think it's the thrill of the chase that gets you. It really, you know, something grasps your attention, and, you know, often it's pretty hard to put it down until you track it down. So,
and yet most people might look at this hulk of machinery and go, gosh, just more old stuff, rusty old stuff, not important. What would you say to anyone?
Look, a classic example of that is how it came to be where it is now. Initially, Murray Shiner had been working with his excavator on the bank of the Ord there at KRS, and he found it half buried in the bank. So Murray dragged it out with his excavator and put it where it is. So you can still see, on the flywheel, you can still see all of that mud from when it was buried in the bank. And I'm hoping that might survive to tell another story.
It is. It's all part of the provenance of the Petters atomic engine. And what is the connection between this engine and the current T1 at the golf course, Andrew? Is there,
that's,
was it
that's
actually...
about where it would have been situated, where the golf course is and where the main pump station is for people who know Kununurra. That's sort of extending over towards the caravan park there.
Yes.
That's where the original Carlton Reach 15 acres were cleared in 1941 for these first agricultural experiments.
Wow, the original farm lots. I think maybe they should rename T number one for being the, I don't know, the atomic engine tee off or something.
That's, yeah, well, that could be a possibility.
Oh, I'll leave that idea with you then.
Yes, yes.
Well, I know you mentioned that you're negotiating with the research station to display the engine outside the museum. How long might this take? Have you got any thoughts or ideas or requirements, fundraising, that kind of thing, to make this happen, Andrew Barker?
We've got a few volunteers who are interested in assisting. So we're hoping to have this in place perhaps before the July 20th celebrations, which will be when 50 years ago in July, it'll be when Menzies opened the diversion dam and Ord Stage 1. So that was, July 20th, 1963.